Welcome, listeners, to the University of South Carolina Library Productions Recording Studios. Today, we're excited to share with you the results of a recently completed research study here at the university, headed by Dr. Nolise Soto Ramirez of the Arnold School of Public Health, in collaboration with the Center for Child and Family Studies with the College of Social Work. I'm Taylor Giles, and here with me today is Dr. Amber Boffman, a member of the research team. Dr. Boffman, thank you for making the time to speak with me today.
It's a pleasure to be here. And I also want to thank those who funded this project and made it possible. This work was supported by the Administration for Children and Families of the Office of Planning, Research, and Evaluation under grant 90YR0182.
And full disclosure, I'm also a member of the research team, so I'm very much looking forward to this chat. And let's start off with introductions. First, just a little bit about Dr. Soto Ramirez, the lead on the project. She is a clinical assistant professor here at the university with the Arnold School of Public Health. With more than 20 years of experience, she's been a passionate advocate for child and maternal health, with an interest in supporting Latino families through programs like Migrant and Seasonal Head Start. The other members of the research team are myself, Taylor Giles. I've been a research associate at the center for about 3 years now, and yourself, Dr. Boffman. You've been with the center since 2018, is that right?
That's correct.
And we're all excited to talk about our work today, so let's talk a little bit about what we did and why it matters. Why don't you introduce us to the study?
Sure. Our study focuses on Migrant and Seasonal Head Start, which is an early educational program for children ages 1 to 5 years old from families who are primarily employed in agricultural work. Migrant families are those who move throughout the year, often to follow patterns of agricultural harvest. Seasonal families don't move as often, but typically are only employed during certain times of the year, usually harvest or planting seasons. Migrant and Seasonal Head Start is designed around the unique challenges that these populations face in ensuring their children have the best educational start.
And what are some of those challenges?
Well, one, for migrant families, it's difficult for children to have to unenroll and enroll again in early educational opportunities as they move from one work location to the other. Head Start provides consistency and teachers who understand that these children and families may have been in an entirely different place, educationally and otherwise, last month. For both populations, English often isn't the first language of children or families, and families may feel disconnected or find it difficult to engage with their children's education due to the demands of agricultural work and language barriers. Head Start teachers are often multilingual, and the program works with families to ensure they have multiple opportunities to engage with their children's education and connect with community resources that may help the family provide the best support for them.
Thank you for that background information. And can you explain briefly what our team was hoping to learn with this project?
Of course. Broadly speaking, we were hoping to examine how various forms of professional development and support for migrant and seasonal Head Start teachers might be related to certain positive outcomes for teachers, parents, and students.
And what kind of outcomes were you interested in?
For teachers, we were looking at levels of self-reported depression and job satisfaction. For families, we were looking at levels of parental engagement with their child's education at migrant and seasonal Head Start programs, as well as levels of engagement with community resources. Finally, for children, we wanted to examine a variety of learning outcomes, including cognitive and social development, literacy, language proficiency, and counting skills.
And the research team believed that professional development available to these teachers could influence all of those outcomes?
We thought it likely, yes. And if it did, then it provides a potential avenue for Head Start centers to enhance their impact in people's lives through a mechanism that the center has real control over. Children and families in all educational settings come to schools and early education programs with many challenges that the educators can't affect.
Like what?
For example, home life, income levels, health, mobility, greater economic or political trends. These things all have an impact on a child's early development, but they're outside of educators' hands. If certain types or frequencies of professional development can better prepare teachers to meet these needs, then early childhood organizations know one place to focus their energy that may relate to real improvement in the lives of the people they serve. Even in a best-case scenario, it wouldn't be the only factor, but every little bit helps, right?
Absolutely. Okay, well, we're going to talk about what you found, but just to make sure we understand what you're working with, how did you get the data that you used to answer these questions, and briefly, how did you analyze it?
Migrant and Seasonal Head Start collected this data in 2017. They surveyed teachers, families, and center directors about everything from classroom practices to family experiences. We took the relevant survey responses for each of our aims and analyzed them to see if there were meaningful relationships between professional development and key outcomes. We also looked at groups of teachers, parents, and children using what's called latent class analysis. In other words, we wanted to know whether distinct groups emerged within those populations, groups defined by shared characteristics, including experiences with professional development.
Great. Let's talk about what you found in more detail then. Starting with teachers, you said that you were looking at teachers' self-reports of depression and their job satisfaction. Is that right?
That's correct.
And what did you find?
One of our key findings related to teacher job satisfaction. We found that teachers who received 5 or more child assessment trainings were more than 3 times as likely to express high levels of job satisfaction compared to teachers who received fewer trainings. Classroom coaching for teachers was also associated with higher job satisfaction, although the relationship was more modest. Interestingly, we found an opposing relationship between less experienced teachers who received 3 or more child curriculum trainings and lower reported job satisfaction.
And what about depression?
We didn't find any significant differences there, as it happens, even though earlier research has linked higher job satisfaction with lower levels of reported depression in teachers.
Okay. And what do you think your results mean?
Overall, our results suggest that more support for teachers in the area of child assessment and classroom coaching may help teachers find more satisfaction in their work. The finding regarding child curriculum trainings was surprising, but the key there may be that the relationship was only present in teachers with less than 10 years' experience on the job. Our data doesn't tell us what prompted a teacher to receive any given professional development or support, so it could be that curriculum supports were primarily given to or solicited by teachers who were already feeling less prepared and thus less satisfied than their more experienced peers.
And what about the lack of findings concerning teacher depression?
Well, when it comes to teacher depression, it's a complicated outcome with a lot of variables. It's possible that the types of professional development being offered just aren't designed to address that kind of support. Depression might be better tackled through providing teachers more access to mental health services and personalized supports.
And how would you see migrant and seasonal Head Start personnel and other early childhood educators putting these findings into practice? What's the takeaway?
Primarily, to be aware that regular and additional support for teachers matters. Higher job satisfaction is correlated in the literature with higher levels of retention and generally better rapport and relationships with families and children. Our data wasn't able to show us what factors in the child assessment training may have been most effective, so it would also be great to break down that training curriculum to understand what it may be providing for teachers, as well as examining what supports in classroom coaching are most effective. I think that'd be very exciting to look into.
Great, that would definitely be interesting. Thank you for sharing.
No problem.
And that brings us to your team's second research question, whether professional development for migrant and seasonal Head Start teachers was linked to higher levels of parental engagement and greater family access to community services, correct?
That's correct.
And what did the research team find?
Our latent class analysis found 3 distinct groups of caregivers based on how involved they were in school activities, which were distinguished by low participation, some participation, and high participation. The low participation group, as you might expect, had low levels of participation across the board, while the high participation group was the opposite. The group we designated as some participation were most likely to participate in activities such as caregiver workshops, parent-teacher conferences, and home visits from MSHS staff.
So we're talking about educational and direct service activities then.
Exactly. those caregivers were more likely to engage in those kind of activities and less likely to participate in things such as volunteering in the classroom or participating in parent committees or groups.
Interesting. And were there any connections between those groups and the professional development that their children's teachers were receiving?
Nothing particularly strong. We did see an interesting positive trend between caregivers in the high participation group and their children's teachers receiving classroom coaching and training on linking families to community resources. But the pattern wasn't strong enough for us to confidently say it reflects a real relationship.
Why do you think that is?
Parent participation has several factors, especially when we're speaking of migrant and seasonal workers. Their work is hard and the hours are long, reducing the opportunity and energy for participation. Additionally, there are cultural factors involved, where it may be that parents and caregivers see their role as supporting the child at home and encouraging them to work with the school rather than participating directly with the school. It's worth noting that even among the low participation group, parents were likely to attend parent-teachers conferences, even if they didn't do anything else. So it is unlikely to be a lack of interest in their children's education, but our data set didn't let us delve into the motivations or barriers to participation.
Very interesting. Perhaps later you'll be able to do some of that work.
We hope so.
So do I. And the other part of your question was related to parent engagement with community services, right?
Correct.
Let's talk about that. I noticed that you mentioned that one of the topics of professional development you looked at was specifically on helping parents to connect with available services.
Good catch. You're quite right.
So we might expect that would be a positive factor.
I feel like that needs to be a spoiler alert, but you got it. Just like we saw with parental engagement at school, we identified three levels of participation in community services. And teachers who had received training on how to connect families to community resources were more likely to have families in the highly engaged group. In fact, when a teacher had that kind of training, their families were more than 6 times as likely to be highly engaged. Receiving classroom coaching showed a similar pattern, though the effect was smaller. Families were a little over 1.5 times as likely to be highly engaged. Unfortunately, neither of those findings was strong enough for us to say with complete confidence that these are true relationships. So this is an area where more research is definitely needed.
Hang on, you're saying that families were more than 6 times as likely? That sounds huge, and it still wasn't conclusive?
Right, not in a mathematical sense. That was mostly due to our sample size. You see, the highly engaged group was very small, so even though the trend seems strong, it's hard to confirm that there's a relationship.
I see. So for both your questions there, it sounds like you found some promising patterns, but you'd need more research to know for sure.
Exactly. Ideally, we'd love to look at a larger sample, perhaps across multiple years, to see if those associations hold across time, and we're able to say there's a real connection there. So that's work for the future, but hopefully our work here will help us and others know where the next research effort should be focused.
One step forward.
On a long path, yes. That's how research works. Even when you find a clear result, you or others always want to test it again to see if it holds up. One study's findings can be interesting, but what really builds confidence is seeing the same findings show up across many studies.
Interesting. Thank you for sharing. But your group had one final area they wanted to look at, didn't they?
We did. As you can see from our first two questions, we were curious about professional development's relationships with all aspects of the MSHS experience. We've talked about teachers, and we've talked about caregivers. What's missing?
If I had to guess, children?
Right. Ultimately, it's all about the kids, isn't it? Our third aim was to see if frequency or type of professional development has any relationship with educational outcomes for children. We looked at English skills, Spanish skills, cognitive and social skills, and counting skills.
And what did you find?
Most of the students were at least fluent in Spanish, which made it difficult to find relationships there, but we did notice a positive association with one topic of professional development. Teachers who had received training in providing case management services to families had students who were about 4 times as likely to be at fluent or very advanced Spanish proficiency for their age, and those findings were clear and consistent.
Interesting. Did that type of professional development connect to anything else?
Not in the specific area. That said, a few other types of professional development showed promising patterns across multiple outcomes. Teacher coaching, for example, was linked to trends towards stronger cognitive and social functioning in children, as well as higher understanding of English, although the latter wasn't conclusive. Training focused on parent education was also associated with higher levels of English fluency and speaking ability among students. We also saw that the overall number of trainings offered to teachers mattered. When migrant and seasonal Head Start centers offer trainings monthly or even more often, children are more likely to show stronger English fluency. Finally, training designed to help teachers better understand migrant and seasonal farm worker families was linked to children's English fluency, as was, somewhat unexpectedly, training related to domestic violence.
And you were looking at another outcome as well, weren't you?
Yes, student counting ability. We didn't find any clear patterns there, I'm afraid.
Still, it sounds like at least a couple of professional development areas, teacher coaching and parent education, might be linked to multiple positive outcomes for children.
That's how we see it. That said, those connections need to be further studied before we can say anything for sure, and there are likely other factors at play that we couldn't fully capture with these data.
So we'd say interesting, but not definitive.
Yes, that's accurate.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your team's results with us here today. That was a lot of information, so I'd like to just briefly summarize, if I may, and you can correct me if I get anything wrong or if I leave anything out.
Go for it.
So you were broadly interested in looking at professional development for migrant and seasonal Head Start teachers, and if it was positively connected with certain outcomes for teachers, caregivers, and children. You found that more frequent trainings were associated with higher job satisfaction for teachers and stronger English fluency for children. Classroom coaching for teachers in particular stood out. It was linked to positive outcomes across several areas, including higher teacher job satisfaction, greater parental participation, stronger cognitive and social development in children, and even higher levels of English fluency. That feels like something worth pursuing if you had to choose one type of professional development to do further research on.
I agree. We were surprised to see classroom coaching come up as a positive factor across all of our research questions, although not every pattern was conclusive. It's worth pursuing.
And beyond that, some more specific topics for professional development showed positive relationships with particular outcomes. In some cases, that link seems straightforward, like training teachers to connect families with community resources, being linked to greater use of community services. But sometimes the link was less clear, like the association between domestic violence training with higher English language fluency in children. Can you offer any thoughts on how to make sense of that?
Not with the data we have available. It's possible that there is some other factor involved that makes it more likely for centers to have children with higher English proficiency and to be more likely to offer that topic as professional development. But we would have to examine that link further to understand what might be going on there.
Thank you. For our listeners, what do you think are some of the most important findings from this study?
I think one of the biggest takeaways is that professional development really matters, especially in cases when your teachers are working with an underserved population who might struggle with some unique challenges. Equipping teachers with an understanding of their families and children and providing them support as they work to support those families in turn could help improve outcomes for their families and their children. Education is about the whole child and their family, too, and however we can support teachers in that endeavor, we should.
Okay. Anything else?
I think follow-up studies might want to focus on teacher coaching. That kind of personalized, classroom-based professional support may be one of our most effective interventions for improving outcomes. It needs more study and to examine the quality and substance of the coaching program, but just the fact that it came up again and again suggests there may be something there.
It certainly sounds possible. Dr. Boffman, I want to thank you again for sitting down with me and taking your time to explain this study and its results to our audience.
It was a pleasure, and I appreciate having the opportunity to do so.
For our audience, we thank you as well for your interest and for joining us from wherever and whenever you are. If you have questions about this study, its results, or potential follow-ups to our findings, we'll include contact information in the show notes so you can reach out to the research team at any time. We'd absolutely love to hear from you.
Absolutely.
And on that note, I think we're at the end of our time. To our participants and our listeners, have a great afternoon, morning, or night, and we hope to connect with you soon.